Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 663, Bad Jacketing Obama, Part 3. It's being recorded on February 1st of the year 2009. This program follows directly on For the Record 655 and 656, Bad Jacketing Obama, Parts 1 and 2. And in turn, some of the foundation for these broadcasts is to be found in For the Record 654, in which I spoke about the slumlord milieu of which Barack Obama was a part when he was in Chicago, because it is that milieu that placed some, not only of the Muslim Brotherhood on Obama's flanks, but also specifically people associated with the institutions that were raided on March 20th, 2002, in the largest terrorist funding raids in American history. Those raids netted individuals and institutions with strong links to the Bush administration, and beyond that, the Bush family milieu. Also people like Karl Rove and right-wing GOP linchpin Grover Norquist were deeply involved with the individuals and institutions that were targeted by the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest raids, which grew out of the investigation into Sami Al-Arian. Those raids to date have gone no place, and part of the result is that the Islamic and Muslim Brotherhood fascist allies of the Bush administration are poised on Obama's flanks, potentially, and could help to destroy Obama's presidency, much as the German fascist allies and other European fascist allies of the reactionaries in the Republican Party were supportive of the 1934 coup attempt, the GOP and reactionary attempt at eliminating Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal. That took place the last time we had a Great Depression, and things are certainly looking depressingly like a second Great Depression right now. The New York Times of Monday, January 26th of 2009, carried a column by Paul Krugman talking about the Republican attempts at sabotaging Barack Obama's economic stimulus plan. Today's press carried indications that the Republicans will, in the Senate, will defeat that plan unless it is gutted to suit their nature. But Paul Krugman noted the GOP's resistance to that in this column. He writes in part, "As the debate over President Obama's economic stimulus plan gets underway, one thing is certain. Many of the plan's opponents aren't arguing in good faith. Conservatives really, really don't want to see a second New Deal, and they certainly don't want to see government activism vindicated. So they're reaching for any stick they can find with which to beat proposals for increased government spending." Well, indeed, they are arguing, as Krugman points out in this column, disingenuously, which should come as no surprise whatsoever. But if, in fact, their domestic/legislative efforts can't derail the Obama presidency and what could be, potentially at least, another New Deal for the American people, as opposed to the raw deal they've been getting under George W. Bush and decades of Republican domination of the American political landscape, if that doesn't work, something else might. That, too, was hinted at in an op-ed column, this one, however, by Washington Post columnist E.J. Dion, as carried in the San Francisco Chronicle of Monday, that same day, January 26th of 2009. This is titled, "Republicans Betting on Obama's Failure," and it reads in part as follows, skipping down. "The most insidious line of attack involves laying the groundwork for blaming the new president in the event of a terrorist attack. In a remarkably partisan op-ed piece in the Washington Post last Thursday, Mark A. Thiessen, T-H-I-E-S-S-E-N, who was a speechwriter for former President George W. Bush, declared flatly, quote, 'If Obama weakens any of the defenses Bush put in place and terrorists strike our country again, Americans will hold Obama responsible and the Democratic Party could find itself unelectable for a generation,'" unquote. And Dion goes on to comment, "This is dangerous both substantively and politically, and it suggests that some of Bush's loyalists will continue to politicize issues related to terrorism in their efforts to vindicate the former president's legacy." Well, as far as the former president's legacy about combating terrorism, again, the March 20th Operation 2002 Green Quest raids stand in remarkable testimony to that. What that basically demonstrated was that the Muslim Brotherhood terror funding apparatus in the United States, which funded not only Al-Qaeda, but also Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, like Al-Qaeda, offshoots of the Fascist Muslim Brotherhood, that is an Islamic fascist organization, very heavily documented in the For the Record broadcasts. It was aligned with the Axis in World War II, then jumped in turn to British intelligence and the Central Intelligence Agency, became a key vehicle for the CIA's and NATO's, or the Western agenda of combating communism in the Muslim world. It was the parent organization of the Afghan Mujahideen during the anti-Soviet war in the 1980s. It was the parent organization later of Al-Qaeda and Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And by the way, the support for the Afghan Mujahideen was overseen by George H.W. Bush, the father of the current seated president and the man for whom CIA headquarters is named. There was a very important article that was posted by Patrick Poole, and it was published on, it was put on a blog, the URL for which I will have in the description to this program. It's titled Genocide Henchmen Leading Muslim Outreach to Obama. It's dated January 22nd of the year 2009. And in this article, I think we can see the outlines of not only the ongoing and frankly successful attempt at painting Muslim extremists and Islamic extremists of the Muslim Brotherhood as, quote, moderate, unquote, Muslims, and allowing them to basically hold the banner for the Islamic population of the United States and elsewhere in the world. This is a very disturbing article indeed, because what it demonstrates is that the Muslim outreach to Obama is being led by the same Muslim Brotherhood Islamic fascists who basically are supportive of Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and others. And basically, to make a very long story very short, what we're seeing is that the milieu of the SAR network, the Safa Trust, Bank Al-Taqwa, Youssef Nada, the Islamic Institute of Grover Norquist, Karl Rove, and Talat Altman is intact, and they are once again moving up on Obama's flanks. And if, in fact, the GOP is not able to sabotage Obama's economic program, then it's a pretty darn good bet that their Muslim Brotherhood allies will come up with some horror show that will successfully discredit Barack Obama, because they are poised right once again on Obama's flanks. Once again, they are poised to badjacket Barack Obama. And due to the length of time, due to the shortness of time and due to the length of the documentation, again, For the Record program 654, 655, and 656 will provide some of the key foundation for this documentation. Again, this article by Patrick Poole, Genocide Henchmen Leading Muslim Outreach to Obama. In the 1990s, the extremist Muslim Brotherhood government of Sudan, led by President Omar al-Bashir, was continuing a genocidal jihad against the Christian and animist populations inhabiting the south of the country that killed nearly 2 million people and forced another 4 million from their homes. In July of 2008, Bashir was indicted by the International Criminal Court for war crimes related to the regime's subsequent genocide in Darfur. As Bashir was waging his Holocaust against the Christians during the 1990s, one of his closest advisors and top aides was Aboubakar Ahmed al-Shingieti, who from 1993 to 1995 served as spokesman for Bashir's government, as he was identified in a 1994 New York Times article. Again, this man's name, Aboubakar Ahmed al-Shingieti, last name A-L-hyphen-capital-S-H-I-N-G-I-E-T-I. I may be mispronouncing that, but he is one of the key people. Now, note the organization that he is heading. It's called American Muslims for Constructive Engagement, or AMCE. And note two of the key people involved with administering this supposedly moderate organization, with this henchman to genocide basically as its chief representative. Two of those people are Jamal Barzinji and Yaqub Mirza. They are two of the key people who figured in the March 20th Operation 2002 Green Quest raid. They are allies of Talat Altman, Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, Sami Alarion and the Bush administration and the GOP. And once again, these anything but moderate people are basically constituting the key element in the supposedly moderate Muslim outreach to Obama. And this can work in a couple of ways to damage Obama. One, if he rejects them, then he can be seen as, oh, yes, he's a tool of the Zionists. He's rejecting these, quote, moderate, unquote, Muslim representatives. Or if he does accept them and then some horrifying terrorist incident takes place in this country, then the GOP amen chorus Fox News, one of whose chief stockholders is, of course, Prince Al-Walid of the Muslim Brotherhood, you can bet that they are going to use contacts like this to destroy Barack Obama. Again, he is being bad-jacketed once again. Continuing with this article about Abu Bakr Ahmed al-Shingeti, according to al-Shingeti's own published resume, he later served Bashir as Director of Public Affairs for the presidency from 1995 to 1998 as the genocidal jihad against the Christians was at its height and Sudan was the hub of the International Islamic Terror Network. As reported by the New York Times, 8 individuals charged in the New York Landmarks bombing plot in 1993 were traveling on Sudanese passports. As a result of those arrests, Sudan was added to the U.S. State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism in August of 1993. That was not long after al-Shingeti's boss began sheltering Osama bin Laden, who lived in Khartoum from 1992 to 1996. With the close advisory role that bin Laden had with the Sudanese president and other high-ranking officials, it is highly likely that al-Shingeti would have had regular direct contact with bin Laden, as well as a host of other terrorist leaders who regularly visited Khartoum during al-Shingeti's tenure. This is particularly relevant as al-Shingeti will be heading the U.S. Muslim outreach to the Obama administration as the president of American Muslims for Constructive Engagement, or AMCE, a collaborative effort by the U.S.-based Muslim Brotherhood front organizations to infiltrate our federal government. A recent open letter signed by al-Shingeti identifies him as AMCE's president. The group states its vision as the United States Muslim community and the United States government working together constructively in enhancing national security and national interests of the United States of America, unquote. The lead organization in AMCE, the International Institute for Islamic Thought, which al-Shingeti serves as regional director, is the current focus of a federal grand jury probe into terrorist financing. By the way, that is pursuant to the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, 2002. The IIIT was another of the institutions and individuals targeted by those raids. Continuing, at least two other AMCE groups, the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CAIR, and the Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA, were named by federal prosecutors as unindicted co-conspirators in the recent Holy Land Foundation terrorism finance trial, which resulted in 13 convictions on all 108 counts. And the Muslim American Society, or MAS, was identified in federal court briefs by the Department of Justice as, quote, the overt arm of the Muslim Brotherhood in America, unquote. Exhibits entered into evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial identified CAIR as a front group for the Palestine Committee of the Muslim Brotherhood, and ISNA was also identified as an extension of the Muslim Brotherhood. Testimony by FBI Special Agent Laura Burns during that trial placed AMCE Steering Committee member Nihad Awad at an infamous 1993 meeting of U.S.-based Hamas leadership in Philadelphia. Note that this same group, again, the same Islamic fascist group that hooks up with George W. Bush, his administration, Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, Talat Altman, this organization also helps to finance Hamas, which is the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Continuing, and documents received this past August by the investigative project through a Freedom of Information Act request revealed that AMCE steering committee member Jamal al-Barzinji and AMCE council member Yaqub Mirza were listed in FBI memos as, quote, members and leaders of the Ikhwan, unquote, which is the Arabic term for the Muslim Brotherhood. Department of Homeland Security senior agent David Kane has testified in federal court affidavit that, quote, Barzinji is not only closely associated with PIJ, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, but also with Hamas, unquote. He's also a former business partner of Youssef Nada, the ex-Nazi spy who's the head of the bank Al-Taqwa. A December 2002 Wall Street Journal article relates some additional information about the terrorist connections of AMCE Advisory Council member Yaqub Mirza. Quote, according to court records and Justice Department documents, Mr. Mirza and several associates are suspected of funding the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which targets Israeli civilians with suicide bombers. U.S. officials privately say Mr. Mirza and his associates also have connections to Al-Qaeda and to other entities officially listed by the U.S. as sponsors of terrorism. By the way, parenthetically, I would mention that Yaqub Mirza is also a director of PTEC, described in, for the record, 464 as having an excellent relationship with the FBI. PTEC drew up the threat assessment software architecture for the FAA, the U.S. Air Force, NORAD, and other institutions, including the Department of Energy, which manages the nuclear power plants. And Yaqub Mirza set up all of the fronts that were raided on March 20th of 2002. He is also a business partner with an investment partner with members of the Kaiser family as well. One of the things to bear in mind vis-a-vis the Muslim Brotherhood is that one of the reasons we don't hear more about it is because its key members are major players in international business and finance. That's kind of why we don't hear too much about the American financiers of fascism and the 1934 coup plotters. You're not going to read about them, for example, in the Lamont Library at Harvard, because Thomas Lamont, the benefactor, was one of the key coup plotters of the 34 coup attempt. Continuing here with this article, another FBI memo obtained by the investigative project states that Al-Shingeti's organization, IIIT, was one of the Ikhwan organizations that, quote, are involved in organizing political support which involves influencing both public opinion in the United States as well as the United States government itself, unquote. This political influence campaign was considered the first phase in a plan to institute the Islamic Revolution in the United States, unquote, according to the FBI document. It is appropriate to revisit these extensive contacts between AMCE member organizations and officials and the International Muslim Brotherhood Network, and even activity by AMCE leaders in support of Islamic terrorist organizations, because another Muslim Brotherhood strategic document entered into evidence by federal prosecutors in the Holy Land Foundation trial revealed that the activity of these organizations in the U.S. is part of a grand jihad, unquote, to destroy the West from within, quote, the process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process, unquote, with all that the word means. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging, unquote, its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions, unquote. These connections and the Muslim Brotherhood's stated goal of waging a grand jihad, unquote, inside the U.S. raise particular concerns considering statements reported by the Wall Street Journal made by Al-Shingeti's current boss, Jamal al-Barzinji, at a fall 2001 Organization of Islamic conference meeting in Qatar, bragging how he and his associates had successfully infiltrated Washington. Quote, at this time, the president, meaning Bush, and his administration are continually seeking the counsel and input of American Muslim leaders. At no other time has the Muslim community in America been more effective in relation to the processes of American government, unquote. When considering the concerted and extensive effort by the Muslim Brotherhood to infiltrate the U.S. government, we can gain insight into how Abu Bakr al-Shingeti has transitioned from being a top official in the genocidal Sudanese Muslim Brotherhood regime to a top official in the U.S.-based Muslim Brotherhood network, to leading the U.S. Muslim community's outreach to the Obama administration as the head of American Muslims for Constructive Engagement. Investigating his background, we find that despite his recent image makeover as an expert in interfaith religions and reconciliation, a dramatic change from his service as a henchman to a genocidal government, that Abu Bakr al-Shingeti has not changed his Muslim Brotherhood allegiances in his various transitions, just merely changed employers. Many of his AMCE colleagues have made similar transitions into respectability without distancing themselves from their terrorist ties. What's a little genocide between friends, after all? Thus, we can expect that the agenda Al-Shinghieti carries in his contacts with the Obama administration will continue to be in service to the Muslim Brotherhood's grand jihad, unquote, that he has served for the past 2 decades. Well, again, these are the elements that are reaching out to President Obama, and it would be interesting to know just to what extent some of the advice that he has received comes from, quote, moderates, unquote, who are part of the slumlord milieu, the Republican-connected, Karl Rove-connected, Carlyle Group-connected, Talat Atman-connected milieu that I've focused on in For the Record 654, because it's that slumlord milieu which is in a position to badjacket Barack Obama, and there are significant indications that the GOP in this country and the Muslim Brotherhood abroad were certainly acting coincidentally, if not in tandem, to tar Barack Obama. Jumping back very quickly to For the Record 356, and this program was recorded in the spring of 2002, talking about Jamal Barzinji and Yaqub Mirza, two of the people who are associates of Mr. Al-Shinghieti in this AMCE, quote, moderate, unquote, Muslim outreach to Barzinji, to Obama, I should say, from the April 18, 2002 Wall Street Journal article that talked about the Operation Green Quest raids, we read the following. And this is from the Wall Street Journal of April 18, 2002. It's an article by Glenn R. Simpson, and it reads in part as follows. Barzinji serves as a trustee and officer of the Amana Mutual Funds Trust, a growth and income mutual fund headquarters in Bellingham, Washington, conveniently near the Canadian border. Amana's board also includes Yaqub Mirza, a Pakistani physicist who shares Barzinji's Herndon office address and who is widely described as a financial genius. He's not widely described, but is in fact an investment partner of elements of the Kaiser family. Another board member and tenant in the Herndon office is Samir Salah. He formerly ran a branch of Al-Taqwa in the Caribbean, heads a financial firm linked to Star, and directs Al-Hirja Mosque in Falls Church, Virginia, notable for hardline Wahhabi preaching. And once again, continuing, front groups interfacing between the Wahhabi Saudi money movers under federal suspicion and the broader American public include two institutions active in the religious field, the International Institute for Islamic Thought and the Graduate School of Islamic and Social Sciences. Again, that is the one of the institutions behind the AMCE. And skipping down still further, among the Muslim leaders attending the meeting with then-Treasury Secretary O'Neill was Talat Atman, a longtime associate and supporter of President Bush's family who gave a benediction at the Republican National Convention in Philadelphia in August of 2000. But he also serves with Barzinji on the boards of Amana Mutual Funds Trust, an investment firm founded by M. Yaqub Mirza, the Northern Virginia businessman who set up most of the entities targeted by the Treasury and whose tax records were sought in the raid. Skipping down again. Mr. Atman also is on the board of Mr. Safouri's and Norquist's Islamic Institute, the GOP-leaning group that received $20,000 from the Safa Trust, one of the raid's targets. The president of the Safa Trust, Jamal Barzinji, is a former business associate of Switzerland-based investor Youssef Nada, whose assets were frozen last fall after the Treasury designated him a person suspected of giving aid to terrorists. The point being that the Muslim Brotherhood Operation Green Quest target milieu that I focused on in 654, 655, and 656 is poised on the flanks of Barack Obama again. And I think that listeners to this program should make a point of trying to get the word out about this and trying to see to it that the Republican attack machine is not able to utilize this in the event of another terror incident. Jumping into some of the material that I did not have a time to include in the original broadcast for 656, the headscarf incident, it's worth noting that the individuals who were able to successfully create flak for Barack Obama when they were seen on stage at a Michigan function when they were wearing the traditional Muslim headscarf for women, that these were actually people associated not only with the Muslim Student Association's branch at the University of Michigan Dearborn, but one of them had also done work, one of the women, that is, had also done work on behalf of Sami al-Arian. And that, of course, it was the investigation of Sami al-Arian that led to the Operation Green Quest raids. Furthermore, it's worth noting that Heba Aref, one of the women who was involved in that incident, was involved with Dawah, basically religious outreach, for the MSA branch of the University of Dearborn campus, when that institution, namely the MSA, was dominated by people associated with the Hizb ut-Tahrir. And by way of underscoring just what kinds of moderates we're talking about here, reviewing from this broadcast, Farhan Latif only knew it was a matter of time when the slow-burning anger would erupt, and there were attempts at beating him up and running him over with a car, and these were people he knew from the MSA branch in Dearborn, Michigan. And talking about that particular branch at the time that was headed up by Heba Aref, none of this, talking about Mr. Farhan's attempts at moderating that branch, none of this sat well with members of Dearborn Muslim Students Association, who were either radical Salafis or affiliated with Hizb ut-Tahrir al-Islami, the Party of Islamic Liberation. The movement, a clandestine radical Sunni Islamic group that is banned in several countries around the world, advocates the replacement of individual Muslim governments with a single caliphate governed under a strict reading of the Sharia. Before Farhan had arrived on the campus, radical students had turned the Muslim Students Association into a virtual training camp for conservative ideologues. The Hizb ut-Tahrir, by the way, in Germany, is closely associated with the NPD, the German, arguably the top German neo-Nazi party. Reviewing some information from For the Record 395. This is an article called Germany Bans Islamic Group by Eric Geiger of the San Francisco Chronicle, January 16, 2003. Germany's top law enforcement official on Wednesday outlawed an Islamic group accused of establishing contacts with neo-Nazis and spreading propaganda calling for the destruction of Israel and the killing of Jews. Skipping down. Founded in 1952, Hizb ut-Tahrir has said its goal is to restore the Islamic way of life in the Muslim world and to create a single Islamic caliphate from the western coast of Africa to China. It is believed to be based in Britain, but no one knows for sure. In recent media reports, German intelligence officials have been described as being stunned that widened surveillance showed high-ranking Muslim leaders in Germany making contact with terror suspects. Their identities are being zealously guarded, but reportedly include leaders of a nationwide Turkish immigrant organization, that's called Milli Gerus, by the way, and representatives of the Muslim Brotherhood, the most powerful opposition group in Egypt. Hizb ut-Tahrir, by the way, this is from another article about the Hizb ut-Tahrir, this from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Hizb ut-Tahrir became well known in Germany after staging a rally at Berlin's Technical University in October, at which the main speaker made anti-American comments, Schiele said. That's German Interior Minister Gunter Schiele. Members of Germany's extreme right-wing NPD, a party the government is trying to ban, also attended the Hizb ut-Tahrir rally. So these are some of the Muslim, quote, moderate Muslims, unquote, who were involved with badjacketing Obama in the headscarf incident during the campaign. These same Islamic fascist elements, and indeed, very frustratingly from my standpoint, the same elements that were targeted with the March 20th Operation 2002 Operation Green Quest raids are once again poised on Obama's flank. This concludes For the Record at 663, Badjacketing Obama, Part 3. This has been recorded on February 1st of 2009. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.